Say this with me. I am responsible.
I am responsible.
I am responsible for what goes on this earth.
I am responsible for what goes on.
It's not God's fault if I don't see what I want to
see.
It's not the president's responsibility or the leader's responsibility.
It's my responsibility.
Jesus said,
occupy
till I come. You don't like what you see? Then change it. The title of this is called Draining the Swamp. You know, I don't mean to beat up on the church so much, but sometimes the church needs to be beat up on. Because from what my experience has been, we grew up in the church being one of these that we just showed up to get a blessing and went about our own way and did our own thing for the most part and expected the leaders to do it all. Well, we see the results of just letting the leaders do it, not covering them in prayer. I remember many years ago when I was at a certain church here in Odessa, I was on staff out there, and the Lord gave me a dream, and in the dream, or it might have been before I went on staff, but anyway, the Lord gave me a dream, and in the dream, you could see at that time this church was pending a lawsuit because of sexual misconduct because of one of the ministers. And what the Lord showed me was there was God's angels and fallen angels wrestling. And as they were wrestling, whenever the saints would pray, the God's angels would prevail and push back the powers of darkness out of the church. And you know, the church is what? Homes. It's a representation of many homes coming together in the church. So the powers of darkness were pushed back, but when we didn't pray, the powers of darkness would just come in and overtake. So, you know, God says in His Word that we're to pray for our leaders. He says in His Word that we are to pray the Lord's Prayer. And I'm convinced in my heart that if we had just done those two simple things, a lot of what we're seeing now coming down in the church, pedophilia, child trafficking, it's showing up in just about every denomination. The Church of God, there's, you know, I mean, just, not just the Catholic Church. We're talking Pentecostal churches. What happened? We didn't do the very first few things that the Lord told us to do. You know, He doesn't give us much to do. You know, kind of like with the children of Israel. He told them, okay, go out in the field and gather your manna and gather enough to last you through Saturday, but don't leave any of it overnight. And they couldn't follow some few little simple instructions. So God does not usually give us much instruction. He'll give us a few things to do, and He'll sit back and He'll see if we will actually do them. Because based on experience, there's very few that He ever named in His Word that they'll follow me with all of their heart. They'll do everything exactly the way I told them to do it. So the mess we're in today, we can blame the leaders, they're corrupt, we can blame the Arabs, we can blame the communists, we can blame the socialists, we can blame, we can even blame the devil. But who's been given authority down here over him? God's body, the body of Christ. That's who we are. We have a responsibility today. And if as believers, now you're probably not going to like this, but I don't care. If we are uninformed, how are we going to know? It's kind of like sending a soldier out to fight an enemy that he hasn't been trained to fight. Now we know the devil is the enemy. We're not fighting flesh and blood. This is the devil we're talking about. We're in a war right now, whether you realize it or not. We've already won, but we have to forcefully go in and run the sucker out. Because he's a squatter, he comes in illegally, and he'll camp out on your territory, whether it be your country, your body, your kids, your finances, your health. Now listen to me today. He'll come and camp out and squat there, and he'll stay there until you kick him off. You run him off. So the draining of the swamp really puts it in our court. The draining of the swamp. Who's the ultimate swamp creature? The swamp boss, Satan. Everybody else are just his puppets. You take him down, you take them all down. That's why the president is draining the swamp. But who's the real power behind the president? He could do nothing without the church. If the church hadn't started waking up and praying, and there's always been a remnant that have been on the cutting edge all along, praying. If it hadn't been for that, I dare say we might not even be alive today if the witch had gotten the White House. All right, we're going to get into it here. How we as the body of Christ drain the swamp. Now we're going to read these two prayers. Matthew 6. We have no excuses today. When we stand before the Lord, he's going to ask, what did you do with what I gave you? But Lord, they censored us. Or Lord, they did this. Or Lord, they did that. Do you know what God gives us to do bypasses anything the enemy could ever do? When you have authority, when you've been given authority, when you've been given status like God class status to speak to situations and say, no matter what they do, will there be an excuse? No, there won't. There won't be an excuse. They'll say, well, didn't we do all these things in your name? No, I didn't ask you to do that. You just did that. So I don't know you. I don't even know who you are. All right, Matthew 6, 9. Pray therefore like this, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just think about it. If every born-again believer on the face of the earth prayed this prayer every day, do you think it would make a difference? I don't think we would see what we see today. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So you see, God's kingdom coming, our needs supplied, everyone living in peace and harmony and in love, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliverance from the evil one. Isn't that what we all want? Okay, let's go to 1 Timothy. You know, I was thinking about, there's a certain high official in our government that I come across repeatedly accusing of this high official of pedophilia and child murder and all these things, and it just grieves my heart, and I've been praying in the Spirit about it, and I'm thinking, Lord. And a little thought came to me. They were probably abused themselves as a child. See, these people are victims. They're victims. The victim becomes the oppressor. I said, Lord, how are we to pray? What are we to do? Things I've heard about others. You know, I'm just thinking the Lord has spoken to me. The Spirit's spoken to me about these people. Satan has deceived them. They really believe that they're right. They really believe. These Luciferian Satanists, they really believe that they're following the true God. Satan has deceived them into thinking this. That's why they're so adamant about persecuting those who represent Jesus, because they really believe that. They've really been lied to. They really need to see the truth. I said, Lord, how much better? I mean, in the old covenant, God, whatever, took them out. But in the new covenant, we weren't with the love manner here. I said, how in love do we handle this situation with these people? They've got to see something better. They've got to see something that causes them to abandon what they're used to, and they see the love of God that surpasses anything that they've ever known. Because they've just been slaves. You know, they're have tried to enslave us, but they're the slaves. They're the real slaves. They're the real ones in bondage to the evil one. We may be their only hope of anything. But if we're like most of the church, don't even know what's going on, don't even know, don't even care, how are we supposed to do anything, help anybody? Yeah, I know the Holy Spirit can bring things up to you, but in Scripture, when you read in the Old Covenant especially, you had the king and the priest and the prophet all working together to take out Jezebel and Athaliah, Baal, Molech, anointing the leaders, anointing the king with oil. There wasn't no separation of church and state. There wasn't no church out here by themselves on, let's say, a little city on a hill, and they're just out there and having their thing. They have nothing to do with nobody. Been there, done that. That's not the church. That's not what the church is supposed to be. It's not what the church is supposed to represent. We need to have our thumb in every pie. Why? God's given the earth to man, and he doesn't mean the devil's man. He means his man, Adam. Born again Christians, taking authority, calling the shots. Okay, 1 Timothy 2. First of all then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men. For kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, a peaceable one, in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. For such is good and right and pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior, who wishes all men to be saved and to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the truth. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So what... when we pray this prayer, what does the Holy Spirit do? He begins to show us things. Maybe there's a leader fixing to make a false move, but because we've prayed, God has been able to intercede and step in to the middle of that and keep them from making that step or that mistake. If we'd have been praying this way all along, you know, we know the Antichrist will step up at some time in the future, and we know things will be bad again. But I don't think they have to be that way here. I know there's going to be sheep nations and goat nations. So that tells me there are going to be godly nations and godly people when God comes, when Jesus comes. So we don't have to go and keep the thing going the way it's been going. The snowball doesn't have to keep gathering victims in this avalanche. We can stop it in our day and imprint on future generations, see? Train them to use their voice to change their world. I think about our great-grandson going to be born in January. What kind of world is he going to have if the Lord tarries? If we all go the way of the earth or our fathers and then they're left here and they don't know anything, what do you think it's going to be like? If you think the devil ain't going to crowd them out, you can think again. We have a grave responsibility. We can get all about our needs and all about our aches and pains and all of our stuff and be all wrought up with that, and we never do nothing for nobody. But what is the real purpose we're here? It's to get our focus off of ourselves and get about the kingdom business. And most of it we can do from our chair and our prayer closet every day. God gives us simple steps of obedience to carry out. It's usually just a little thing. In the whole scheme of things, because he doesn't get a lot of people that truly obey him. Like with the gathering of the manna, they couldn't seem to follow a few simple instructions. It seems wild to me that if we had been doing these simple prayers, we would not see the horrible, massive, worldwide mess that we see. Just a few simple steps of obedience as Christ's body, we could have avoided all of this. Can't blame the leaders. The responsibility has been given to us. We are the power behind the leaders. It is up to us to drive the devil out of our body, our children, our finances, our workplace, our nation, the nations of the world. We as sheep have become so fat and lazy, grazing constantly and not exercising spiritually. Yes, all fell asleep. Now is the time to arise and take it back in Jesus' name. Start with the personal swamp and work your way out to the corporate swamp. If you will pray the way the Lord has instructed, he will take hold together with us to pray in his plan. He is just looking. I can remember years ago, many years ago, it might have been 30 years ago, I remember I had made out a prayer. And it was concerning Abundant Grace Fellowship, and it was concerning God's things. And I remember we started praying those prayers, and I think Danny said something about, now this is something God can get behind, or something to that nature. Like, when you start focusing on him and his business, and you start praying that way and quit asking for yourself all the time, me, myself, and I, or my this and my that, focusing in on his, that's something he can work with. Then when we get busy, so focused on what he wants us to do for him, we'll look up and he took care of ours. Romans 8, powerful scripture. People take it out of context, quote it out of context all the time. They totally miss what God is saying here. Verse 26. So too the Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We are sure to know that all things work together and are for good to those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Now, like Amplified, I believe, is right here. It says we're becoming a partner with God, and it's fitting into a plan. You know, we hear this, oh, all things work together for good. That's not what that means. This means the Holy Ghost will take hold together with you to pray God's plan in the earth. God's plan in the earth. This is about the prayer of intercession, praying for our leaders. As we get in line, the Lord will move us into the divine missions of winning souls for the kingdom. Now, Matthew 28, Mark 16, going to read those. These have not changed. This is the ultimate goal. I don't care what you're called to do. This is the ultimate goal. Matthew 28:18. Now this, get a picture here. Jesus is fixing to leave and go back to the Father. He left the disciples these instructions. Says 18 says, Jesus approached and breaking the silence said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you all the days And on all the days and on, I'll have to read the brackets, perpetually, uniformly, on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age, amen, so let it be. So what has the devil done? He's taken the Great Commission and he's done exactly what God instructed his people to do. Tried to infiltrate, bring cultures over here to try to run us out of our nation, like Sharia law, Antichrist agendas, socialism, communism. That's one of the things that I speak, that when these immigrants come in legally, they know we serve God, Jehovah, here. You have the freedom of religion, but you better do it in private, because we will not come under your God. Period. And if you don't serve our God, and you try to push your God on us, you can leave. That's what's, you know, there's got to be a return to the rule of law in the United States of America. Murderers, death penalty. Abortionist, death penalty. You push opioid drugs on people to kill them, death penalty. Pedophilia, death penalty. You start nipping these things in the bud. You start saying, all right, you can do what you want to, but if you do, guess what the penalty is? And enforce it to the full letter of the law. Before you know it, we won't have any crime in America. I guess you could say I'm for corporal punishment. That may seem hard, but you know, Satan has gone so far that the pushback has to be so hard. They'll never think about ever doing anything like that in this nation again. Okay, Mark 16. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news to every creature. He who believes on him and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe, see, even God here, will be condemned. Even God at the end will say, well, you didn't choose me. I loved you, and I still do, and I died for you. But you didn't want me, so go to hell. That's what's going to happen. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. We need to drive the demons out of the United States of America. I think it was Mike Thompson that said he saw the twisty serpent, the Leviathan, on the bank. I think it was in around England, somewhere in there. It jumped in the water and it swam to the United States of America and came up on our shores. I'm thinking, man, there's no truer word I've ever heard than that right there. The mouths of people, the twisty serpent. I'm teaching flat earth on television, and I'm thinking about spinning, you know, the earth spinning. Well, what does Satan do? What does he's the twister turner of the truth, the spin zone. No wonder his globe spins. His fake globe spear spins. God is no turning in God, no shadow of turning. His chariot goes north, south, east, west. Doesn't turn. God's very nature is in his word. And you can see where Satan has come in and tried to turn it. Turn the truth. It's called the spin zone. All right, and these attesting signs shall accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. There's Paul right there. If they drink anything deadly, John, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will get well. The disciples that went before us and took the commission, snake bites, poison. Lord Lord don't want us to be afraid today. More just sitting around waiting for our government to do everything and complain. Time to start obeying what the Lord has set down and allow Him to lead you in taking the gospel where He directs you. If every believer would do this, Jesus would come back and all this mess would be over. No longer can we get by with saying, let the ministers do it or let the missionaries do it. No, the Lord's saying, you do it. The separation of church and state has never been God's plan. The church is the power behind the state. The president and government cannot drain the swamp alone. It's not possible without heavenly power. This is where we come in, the Holy Ghost praying through us. You know, the devil has put in place separation of church and state. You know why he did that? Because he knew we were the power behind the state. If we have a hard time knowing what to pray, then get yourself informed, at least with a general knowledge about what's going on. To fight a good fight, we must know the enemy's devices. 2 Corinthians 2:1 says, we are not ignorant of his devices, the things he's using, the tactics he's using today. This will keep you on the cutting edge and you can speak what you know God's will is about the situation. Instead of complaining about what they say or what the mouth of the devil is saying, yes, Satan is god of this world system. 2 Corinthians 4:4. There are only two masters, so if what they push is not in line with the word of God, then you know what camp they are of. It takes countering their narrative with God's narrative to change things. Jesus said so. Mark 11. The Lord's been speaking to us about getting our words more in line with His will so that when we hear these things, instead of going to blabbing or complaining about it or saying things about it, we immediately go to the mountain and begin to speak. Or we take it to the Lord and pray it through, and then He gives us the words to speak, to change it. Right here, Mark 11, 22. Now, previously, He cursed the fig tree. So He's trying to teach His disciples this very principle here. And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, will be done for him. For this reason, I'm telling you, what have you asked for in prayer? Believe that it is granted to you and you will. So when things come or we see things we don't like, we go to the Lord and we pray. And He'll say, well, change it. Say this. Have you ever had the Lord say that to you or do that? That's normal for a Christian. That isn't rare. That's what all Christians are supposed to be doing, but they just don't know it. Okay, Genesis 1, 1 through 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God paraded the animals before Adam to see what He would call them. And He said, whatever He called them, that's what they were. Even if well, I would have called it that, but you call it that because you called it that. That's what it is, whether you like it or not. It's in the Word. It says, whatever Adam called them, that's what they were. Didn't say what God called them. It says what He called them. So whatever you're calling for, that's what you're getting. And if you say nothing, the devil just thinks, well, they're passive, so I'll just rough and roughshod over everything and just get in there and occupy everything if they're not going to stop me. God said, say, and He said. Now we say, He says, now we see and we say. It's just pretty simple. We see something, we don't like it, we say what we want. Jesus cursed a fig tree because it didn't have any figs on it, but it wasn't even the time of the figs. I'm thinking, poor little fig tree. But He said it. He did what He wanted. He was hungry. He might have been a little put out. But He changed it. The tree never bore again. Man, we are so powerful with our words. We work it so marvelously on the opposite side. Look at this earth if you think it, faith don't work. Look at the earth and see if you can say that. Because faith will work in the opposite. You got people are rattling their mouths off constantly. Back to Mike Thompson again. He said he was taken to heaven and he was standing there looking down and the Lord told him to begin to speak these things. All these embankments built up. And those words he spoke, the angels would go, boom, you know, fly down there and knock them out. But then all these others are rising up all around them. He said, what's going on here, Lord? He said, these are the evil words of men. They're building up Satan's strongholds with their words. Even the church. Don't you know the state of your personal affairs? People act like, I don't want to know nothing about what's going on or nothing about anything. Well, do you know anything about your personal affairs? Well, I take it pretty personal that the devil has tried to overrun and take our earth. I take it real personal. A good first-class soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should know the state of our nation, at least. The separation of church and state has caused us to become passive. The virgins have fallen asleep. Now they're raising up and they're filling their lamps. Do you know the state of your personal affairs? Why does it seem foreign for you to be informed about what is actually going on in your world? The ones that say that, when things get tough, where you think they're going to run? They're going to call Ghostbusters, I'll tell you for sure. Demon Busters, maybe. Stay sharp and ready so God can give you words to speak that will change things. No more sheep being led to the slaughter. No more victim mentality. The future is in our hearts and in our mouths. God needs your voice. And I don't mean speaking just garbage off the top of your head and blabbing. Romans 4. We need to get behind what God is doing and we need to begin to speak as He leads us to speak. 4:16. Therefore, the promise is the outcome of faith and depends on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all its descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As is it written, I've made you the father of many nations in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things as if they existed. So we see here in this story, Abraham and Sarah wanted a baby. They had to get on board with God. They tried in their own means to make things happen, but it didn't happen. But they had to begin to call things to be not as though they were. And that's what we have to do. We have to say what we want about our country. Abe and Sarah wanted a baby, but God needed their voice. Get the griping and complaining out of your mouth and get to changing things for the kingdom of God. Okay, Joshua 14, we know that he spoke to the sun, stood still. The moon, it stood still. Said the Lord, it had never been seen before, that the Lord took heed to a man's voice and obeyed him. If he's told you, you have authority down here, the earth I've given to man, then of course heaven's going to back us up. James 5, 17 and 18 talks about Elijah. That he spoke, commanded that the rain would not come for 3.5 years. Said then he prayed again and it began to rain. These are old covenant. 1 Samuel 17, David. When the giant was screaming at him, terrorizing Israel, they were all running for the foxhole. He got up in the giant's face and said, this day I'm going to cut off your head. What happened? He cut off his head. Daniel, three Hebrew children. You know, God will deliver us. But even if he wouldn't, we're not going to serve you. They went in the fire. The fourth man showed up in the fire, whether it was an angel or the Lord himself, I'm not sure. Even the smell of smoke wasn't on him. It's sad in the Word of God that you find so few of these throughout. When it comes to the masses in the Bible, you can name them probably on two hands. It actually did something. You are wanting the Lord to send you out or use you in some big way, and he hasn't even been able to get you to get that mouth under control. If you don't like it, change it. Quit looking over there and take care of here and now. For whoever that's for, Luke 16. Verse 10, he who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. He who is dishonest and unjust in a little is dishonest and unjust also in much. So the Lord gives us a little to do, and he sees if we're going to actually do it and be faithful where he puts us, and then he'll add as you grow. As you're faithful in little, you'll be given responsibility of and much. You're in training, and how long it takes for you to get it is up to you. Joyce Meyer has a mini book, and it's called Why God Why? When God When? You know why? Because Joyce has been down this road. I mean, she tells stories about herself, and we all laugh. But these are, you know, they went through hard things. There was a time where she was making more money than him, and the Lord made her quit her job. And she said, I had to believe the Lord for frying pans and dish rags. Well, I say, shut up and march. Jericho. He told them, don't say a word. They went around the city 7 days. Can you imagine in this day and time with the way people talk? Maybe my mouths are going all the time. To get them, especially masses, to get them to shut up and follow the Lord fully and do exactly what he said. Can you just imagine today trying to get that? What brought the walls down? They shouted when the Lord told them to shout. They watched their parents die out in the wilderness and come to a bad end. So this bunch wised up and obeyed. So quit all this wondering about things. Get focused and learn what you need to learn so that you'll be an asset to the kingdom of God. The hardest thing for people to understand is God has called you from your mother's womb, but separation to the work comes much later. Training time is never wasted time. There's times I'll think, Lord, it's been 5 years. In fact, this Sunday, or probably Wednesday, this is 5 years we've been doing this. You just have to keep on doing what you've been doing and just keep doing it until. That's what you do. 1 Kings chapter 20, not sure what this is, but we'll look at it. One thing the Lord did say to me was, it's time to get the Hagars out of your life. Told me that yesterday. That just come back up because I didn't put it on this. Said, time to get the Hagars out of your life. The stuff that's wasting your time. This is causing you to spin your wheels. Okay, 1 Kings 20:19. Could be just focusing on yourself. You know, yourself can become a god to you. Okay, 1 Kings 20:19. Just a second. right, we'll read it. Am I on 20? I don't. Yep. Okay, 19. So then, of the governors of the districts went out of Samaria, and the army followed them, and each one killed his man. The Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, escaped on a horse with a horseman. The king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. The prophet came to the king of Israel and said to him, "Go fortify yourself and become strong. Give attention to what you must do. For at the first of next year, the king of Syria will return against you." And the servants of the king of Syria said to him, "Israel's gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, remove the kings, each from his place, and put governors in their stead. And muster yourself an army like the army you have lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain. And surely we shall be stronger than they." And he heeded their speech and did so. And I'm, maybe it's Second Kings. Because that's, I don't know what that's about. 2019. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know what that was about. Well, I know what it was about. This is about Elijah and Elisha. Let's go back to 1 Kings. I just wrote it down wrong. Do you know where that is, Danny? Oh, okay, it's 19, not 20. Verse 19 of 19. It says, "So Elijah left there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, whose plowing was being done with 12 yoke of oxen, and he drove the 12th. Elijah crossed over to him and cast his mantle upon him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me kiss my father and mother, then I will follow you.' And he, testing Elisha, said, 'Go on back. What have I done to you? Settle it for yourself.' So Elisha went back from him. Then he took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the oxen's yoke as fuel, and gave to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and served him." King James says he was a menial. A menial? I think it was the King James said menial. Anyway, the word menial means a person doing menial work, a domestic servant, lowly, humble, or servile. If you don't learn it, you won't be used. I'm sure this is not what you want to hear, but it is the truth. Some are thinking, any time I'll launch out and have my own ministry, and God's thinking, I haven't been able to get them to obey me in these few simple things yet. We've seen a lot of ministers come and go, and some fall in this area. Don't let that be you. Just buckle down where you are at, and when it is time, promotion will come. Okay, Genesis 39. I was thinking, as I was doing all this, all the years that the Lord's had me working in other people's ministry, I worked in a ministry as the bookkeeper for 8 years. I learned how to do books for a nonprofit doing that. You know, the Lord has used that. I've taught nursery. I've taught the 10 and 12-year-olds. I've taught the youth. I've been on praise and worship team. Been the bookkeeper for somebody else's ministry. Cleaned the offices of that said ministry. No charge. Okay, 39:20. "And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. He was falsely accused in Potiphar's house, a place where the state prisoners were confined, so he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and loving kindness and gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison. And the warden of the prison committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatsoever was done there, he was in charge of it. The prison warden paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, for the Lord was with him and made whatever he did to prosper." So, you know, a lot of times where we are, it can feel like a prison. Like, it's just a place I can't get out of here. It's like I'm in a grave. A rut. Same old, same old, same old. Okay. Then 40, chapter 40. Now, sometime later, we don't know how long. Sometime later, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, offended their lord, Egypt's king. And Pharaoh was angry with his officers and the chief of the butler and the chief of the bakers. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. So Joseph comes by and he sees they're down in the mouth. Now get a picture. He's in a prison and he's a servant in that prison. He sees them. He sees they're in distress. So he interprets their dreams for them. And he asked them to please put in a good word for him. He said, I didn't do anything wrong. I've been imprisoned against my will, and I didn't do anything wrong, so make sure you tell, put in a good word for me so that they'll get me out of this place. Okay, now 41. He did a good thing. He went about doing good, even in his prison. What happened? After 2 years, he said, put in a good word for me. They forgot all about him. 2 years later, and Pharaoh had a dream. And then the butler said, I see where I missed it. He said, there was a man in the prison that he interpreted our dreams. So what happened? Pharaoh called for him. And the rest is history. Moses, he had 40 years in the wilderness. David, 13 years running from Saul. Elisha, 10 to 12 years being a menial servant for Elijah. Joseph, his was about 13 years also before he stepped up. They all had to succumb to the training of the Lord to be promoted to their position. The Lord has told us many times, you're going to look back and you're going to say, I'm so glad that I submitted to what the Lord had me do. I'm so glad that now I understand. Joseph understood later also, even though he went through a lot of heartache. When separation time comes, the Lord will let it be known. So we must just be busy simply doing the things He's asked of us. In other words, get our minds off of ourselves, what our future holds or what's going to happen, always wondering about this and wondering about that. He just wants us to get busy just doing. And then when the time comes, when we get a call, Pharaoh on the line, then we can clean up, stand before Pharaoh and accept promotion. If we won't serve or follow, we will never lead. We can master the evil of our day with good. Most of it can be in your place of prayer every morning. When you see and hear things you don't believe line up with God's plan, make a mental note of it and begin to call those things which be not as though they were. Everything that I hear, I don't speak, but a lot of times if I'm doing my confessions over the nation, the Lord will begin to bring these things back up and He'll give me words to speak concerning these things that I've heard. If you can't change your circumstances, how will you change the world? Listen to the news on matters. We'll give you a list for sure. If you're wanting to know what to pray for, just listen for a little bit. Remember, this is not a battle against flesh and blood. We look past the flesh and blood and look to the real enemy, Satan, and get him back under our feet where he belongs. So don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution. Don't be controlled by circumstances. Take control of the circumstances. This is Isaiah 10:27. And it shall be in that day that the burden of the Assyrian shall depart from your shoulders. The Assyrian's the Antichrist, that spirit, shall depart from your shoulders and your yoke from your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness, which prevents it from going around your neck. In other words, you're going to become so spiritually keen and tuned that you're just going to break off all the fetters. Obeying God and taking care of His business will get that yoke-breaking flow started in your life. Focusing on His business, then He'll take care of your business. A lot of times we're so focused on our business that God can't do anything for us. When we get our focus off of our business and get it onto His business, we'll look up and think, you know, that stuff used to bother me. It ain't even gone. I don't know where it went. You just fell in love with the Lord and His work. And He took care of it.